1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Like this, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But thanks be to God. Somebody thank God this morning. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, Lord, we thank you in this moment. We thank you because your Spirit is moving in this place, God. Thank you because without a shadow of a doubt, we feel your presence, God. We're thankful, God, for the victory that we received through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God. The reality of his road of sorrow, God, to the cross, but also the reality of his resurrection and the overcoming of death, God. We thank you this morning. In your name we pray. Be seated, amen and amen. Today, all across the world, thousands upon thousands are celebrating Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. Some socially distanced and some not. The tradition pre-pandemic, as we have to now add to our vocabulary, the tradition pre-pandemic will say that in countries across the world, in Latin American countries, a country from where my parents come from especially, or specifically now that I'm speaking, there's processions that are occurring. In Guatemala, they line the streets with colorful powder, patterned into beautiful art, all for one moment of the procession to come and just walk all over it. So they take this whole time, they take their time, their effort, their heart goes into it for a second before the procession starts walking through this whole powder and just ruins it. But all throughout the script, all throughout the nation, there's people, there's traditions who are celebrating today the grandeur of what Resurrection Sunday is, the majesty of what Resurrection Sunday is. There are beautiful traditions occurring today, but today is so much more than just a day. It's so much more than just another Sunday. It's so much more than just another Sunday where the most dressed down church dresses up. I'm not pointing no fingers. Today is more than a Sunday where people that never went to church mark their calendars where I need to go to church. It's much more than a day in the calendar. Today is more, with more emphasis, should be the day that you and I reflect the goodness of God towards us. There are heavy implications as we reflect on today. Today you and I are reflecting or should be reflecting and meditating on the suffering of Jesus Christ. On what the road to Calvary, the road of sorrows, entailed. We should be commemorating, thinking, pondering, contemplating on our Savior and the cross. But also today, you and I should be contemplating on the resurrection of our suffered King and what it means for us. Not in a mystical, magical, Disney-like hope fashion, but in a real way, in a way that steps into our reality. The question then becomes, what does resurrection mean to us? How does it change me? Or how does it not change me? If we are to be transparent, for some of us, it took a while, and maybe it takes a while for us to actually believe that Jesus came, he died, let alone resurrected. That's okay because we're human. Doubt is in our humanity. Because sometimes our belief has unbelief. Because sometimes it's hard to believe what we believe. That's only if we're honest with ourselves. Paul, as he ends this chapter, chapter 15, he is giving thanks to God for the victory that we received through Jesus Christ. But before Paul gets there, he's dealing with human people, with real folk that are having a hard time understanding and believing that this resurrection that he was preaching, that has been preaching, was even possible. He says in verse 12, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Paul continues and says, hey, if you don't believe that or don't believe resurrection, then you're also saying that you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And if you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you pretty much don't believe what we've been preaching. And we preach in vain. He says, in fact, we are then misrepresenting God. And then that means that you and I are still living in sin. And he says that those that have died eternally without any hope if we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. He then continues and says, if we only believe on the hope of Christ here, in other words, that it starts and ends here in our reality and that there's not more, he says, then we should all be pitied. But then Paul steps into his authority and says, but in fact, Christ has resurrected. We now have been made alive because and in Christ. God now has pulled all things in subjection under his feet. I want to remind you today, church. I want to remind you, friend. I want to remind you, a person here. I want to remind you, you that are watching virtually, that as a matter of fact, that actually, but in fact, Christ resurrected. Christ has risen. But in fact, as the prophet Isaiah wrote, death was swallowed up in victory. But in fact, on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But in fact, the tomb was empty. But in fact, we have the victory through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in fact, St. Hippolytus of Rome says, Christ is risen, the world below lies desolate. Christ is risen, the spirits of evil are fallen. Christ is risen, the angels of God are rejoicing. Christ is risen, the tombs of the dead are empty. Christ is risen, indeed from the dead, the first of the sleepers, glory and power are his forever and ever. And the church today says, amen. Amen. How does this change us today? How does this engage us today? How does it connect with us today? I want to give you three essential, fundamental to our gospel, to our Christology, to our eschatology, end time studies, to our doctrine of salvation, fundamentals that affect all of these spaces. The first victory that Paul is talking about here that we receive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the forgiveness for our past. Oh, what a gift it is for you and I. What a victory that you and I receive to be able to be absolved of all the past mess ups. To be able to be forgiven of all our past. What a gift it is that you and I can walk with our heads held high, recognizing that our sins have not only been paid for, but have been forgotten. That they no longer have to have ownership over us, over our emotions, over the way we lived, over the way we act. 1 John tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 10 tells us, our sins are washed away and we are made clean because Christ gave his own body as a gift to God. He did once for all time. Micah tells us beautifully, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnants of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever. I want to remind somebody that he does not retain his anger forever. because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The psalmist says he will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far he removes our transgressions, our sins from us. Praise be to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain for our sins. Romans 4:35 tells us, because of our sin, Jesus was handed over to die and he was raised to life in order to put us right with God, says the NRSV. Jesus' death was the payment for the penalty of our sin. His resurrection was God's stamp of approval, a way of showing that the payment that he received was accepted, that in turn makes us makes us forgiven through the forgiveness of our sins. That is why there is no other way to the Father than through Jesus. Amen. What a feeling it is for those of whom our past haunts us. What a feeling it is for those whom can't see forward because they're enslaved looking back. What a feeling it is for a family who is trying to purchase a home but cannot because their loan is not approved because of bad past decisions. Ask the former inmate who, because of his past decisions, is now automatically judged and cannot receive work to live a rightful life. How desperate, how much they wish that their past would be wiped away. But thanks be to God that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white like snow. That though, like the prophet says, that though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Thanks be to God that Resurrection Sunday gave us and gives us the victory today, that our sins, that our past, that what happened, that then no longer can enslave us today. Thanks be to God that the old has passed and, hey, the new has come. Thanks be to God that he whom the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has set free is free indeed. Thanks be to God for the victory of our forgiven past. The second victory that we receive via the resurrection is the power for our present life. Luke 10:19, Jesus tells us that he has given us the power and authority to tread over all the power of the enemy. How many of us are downcasted? How many of us walk this life just burdened by the troubles of our present day living? How many of us walk around just out of it because this hardship is too much for me to bear, because I cannot do it, because I have no strength, because I don't see the end of the tunnel, because the season is never ending, because when it rains, it pours. I want to tell you that we no longer have to suffer, because we believe that our strength isn't our strength. Take heart, the Lord your God has given you the power and strength that you need to deal with your present circumstances. I want to tell you that even the darkest night will end. Through Jesus, we have the power we need to hold on, to take hold of our promises, to take hold of our emotions, to take hold of our thoughts, to wait just a little longer. I want to remind somebody to wait just a little bit longer this morning. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, but we have this treasure, this gospel, this Holy Spirit in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I feel like there should be a therefore in those verses, right? And he said, I'll put it, therefore, we are afflicted in every way, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body of death. In other words, the power so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Paul writing exactly what we feel in our daily living. He says, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus, in other words, the sacrifice, what he did for us, also may be manifested in mortal flesh, manifested, acted out. The power that we receive would be acted out in mortal flesh. The resurrection gives us power for our present day living. How is that even possible? It is through the power that only comes from God that you and I can and will be and will renew our strength. It is through the power and the strength of God that will allow us to soar on eagle's wings, that will allow us to run and not grow weary, to allow us to walk and not grow faint. You and I know that this life isn't easy. We have experienced, if we were to think about the worst moment in our life, I think last year would be somewhere in there. We have experienced hardship. We have experienced corporate hardship as we've experienced individual hardship. We have experienced a pandemic. We have experienced highs, and we most definitely have experienced lows. But what has helped us to get to the side of this other side of the river has been not our power, not our strength, not what we can do, not how we can manage, not the adjustments that I can personally make, but it has been the power that Christ has given us day in and day out. The resurrection of Jesus Christ puts into action the ability of you and I being able to receive power from on high. The power that the apostle received, the apostles received for miracles, the power that helped them persevere in temptation and persecution is the same power you and I receive if we would only believe today. If we would only receive Jesus as our dying Lord and Savior. If we would also receive him not only as the dying Savior, but also as the resurrected King. Yeah. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Isaiah 40 tells us he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases the strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall at exhaustion. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. We have power today to deal with our present living, church. I love what it implies. It implies that we serve a God that is not absent from our daily burdens. A God that is not absent of our daily hardship. A God that is not absent of our daily stresses. But a God that not only takes our past and forgets it, but takes care of our present and strengthens us. Thanks be to God. And the last victory we receive, as I asked the team to help us, the last victory that Paul is speaking about that we receive when we reflect and contemplate on Resurrection Sunday and what it means, is that we now have the victory of our future glory. See, Resurrection Sunday reminds us that we serve a God that is not privy or withdrawn from our past. Resurrection Sunday also reminds us that we don't serve a God that's privy of our present. Resurrection Sunday also reminds us that we do not serve a God that is privy or withdrawn from our future either, but is directly engaged and connected with our past, our present, and our future. Resurrection guarantees forgiveness of our past sins. It guarantees the power for present living, and it also guarantees the hope for our future destiny and our future glory. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, so we do not lose heart. Though outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day in and day out. For the light momentary affliction, he's even making fun of affliction and death. He says, for the light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Jesus tells us in John, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Paul, later in chapter 15, he speaks to this future glory. He speaks to your future, our future. He speaks to what is to come. He speaks to what is available for us today. He says in verse 50 of chapter 15, what I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Our present, our past. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Our past, present, perishable. He says, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we all will be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishably, and we will be changed. For the perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, or death, is your victory? Where, or death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. In 57, he says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rise to our feet. But thanks be to God. Today we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we reflect on what happened on that day, on that important moment. We reflect on his suffering because we do not disregard the suffering just as he does not disregard our suffering. We regard the road of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa. We regard what that felt could have felt like. We regard what that could have seemed like. Because we do not want to forget what he did and had to go through for us. We recognize it in all his majesty. James Cone alludes to this in his book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree. He alludes and speaks to the reality that there is suffering seen in the cross. That there's hurt and pain in the cross. I have to believe that if the cross was supposed to be something nice, what would that do to our faith today? What would that make us believe that the gospel was like? yet there was suffering before resurrection. As he told that truth, as we hold that truth, we also hold the truth that the cross brought victory to our lives. We also hold the truth that this victory, that it touches each part of our life. It touches even each nook and cranny of who we are. The victory of forgiveness of our past. The victory for the power in our present. And the victory that we received in the glory for future. This is Resurrection Sunday. Our Savior is alive and well. This is Resurrection Sunday. And as the song says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, amen, all fear is gone. Because I know, He holds the future. And life is worth the living. What does that mean? Living doesn't only mean the good times. It doesn't only mean that we live in the good, but it's also recognizing that there's going to be hardship. And life is worth the living. All because He lives. Today is a day to reflect, but to also embrace what we have through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, we have the victory. Today the call is for us whom have accepted Jesus to remember and reflect that the resurrection of Christ is not only for today, but it has deep implications and connections to our past. It touches our present and it pushes us to our future. Thanks be, yes, to God.
Hallelujah.
Can you close your eyes with me this morning? Pastor George said this morning, there is a call today. There's a call for the believer, for the most experienced one, for the most studied one, for the one who believes that they got it all good, for the one that believes that their personal theology is it. There's a call to be reminded that what resurrection does and is. There's also a call for those that are new to the walk. There's a call for those that might need a reconciliation, because we don't have it all right. Because sometimes there's bumps in the road. Because sometimes things don't work out the way we would have hoped that they would have worked out. Resurrection Sunday calls us to reflect that though we go through hardship, though things are hard, there is victory attainable for all of us. Victory that has ramifications in our past, ramifications for our present, and ramifications for our future. The altar is open. If you need to reconcile, if you need to accept, if you need God to confront you a little bit more, resurrection reminds us today that even in the midst of all that, there's victory. And the church says, but thanks be to God.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.